Welcome to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Lee Brushnida, and I'm joined by one Mr. who needs no introduction, but I'm going to give him one anyway.
Please
just
do.
Just a great trivia host, great friend, Mark Davis.
Hello. It's good to be here again with you.
Yeah, man. Always a pleasure.
Good breakfast today.
Yeah. Strong breakfast.
We had
so many bacons.
We had many bacons. Two orders of $1 million bacon. That's if you're counting $8 million worth of bacon.
Plenty of coffee and tea that we begged for. Basically, we had to get on our knees and grovel.
Was not.
Please bring us more.
How did you tip?
Well, yeah.
Thank you for breakfast.
Yeah. No problem, man.
Yeah.
So regarding tipping, you gotta work pretty hard to get me to go under 20%. Basically.
Okay.
And then I'll usually round up if I favor the service. And even if I don't, like today, I don't know, they just seem pretty busy. So I did 20% rounded up to the next dollar.
I mean, that guy came up and dropped off her food and my empty glass was at the end of the table and he did not a thing about it. And I mean, like, I know that people are making a living and stuff, and I'm the same as you. I'll still tip well, but holy shit.
I would fucking hate to have that job, honestly.
Yeah,
I'd much rather prefer talking into a microphone.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
By the way, shout out to our Patreon supporters, of course. Of course.
Thank you.
All right, so last week we had Team Moist on, Max and Lucas, two members, founding members of Team Moist, and we took a break from our discussion, it seems like a weekly discussion about scoring techniques. And Mark, as I mentioned last week, we did get a wonderful, wonderful email from Christopher, the guy who knows everything in Portland, Oregon. I was corrected on the pronunciation there. It's not Oregon.
No.
That's how some dumbass Floridian kid would say it. It's Oregon.
Oregon.
Yeah, so we got an email from him. He is a quizmaster in Portland, Oregon. This just sounds like such a fun night of trivia, and it's very interesting to see how they do it on the other coast there. So let me read you some of this email here. It says, I took over my game from a friend who decided to retire from hosting, and I largely kept the same format. As far as I know, he came up with it on his own. I do four rounds of five questions each. So that's 20 questions.
Okay.
So that's about where you how many
I'm
do you
16.
Do? You only do 16 questions?
Or I'm sorry, 18.
18.
I'm sorry.
Okay. 18. Yeah. And I do 21 on my three round night. So he's
split
doing about
difference.
He's doing about the same amount of questions, but he's breaking it out into more rounds. Each round is theoretically harder than the last, but one thing I don't know is exactly how much other people know. So round difficulty is imprecise. And I think that that's just a challenge that every quizmaster faces, basically.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah. It's not like we have, and it would be wonderful if there, I don't think there's like a quizmaster union or anything like that where quizmasters can get together and say, like, you know, these are the standards for verification and stuff like that, question verification. And, you know,
yeah, I think
there are ways that you can actually, there are people that do this in education. For like testing procedures, like, is this a difficult or easy enough question? That's their specialty, is like identifying question difficulty.
Well, we've talked a little bit about, you know, I think that a lot of it would depend on where in the country you are.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be pretty hard because I feel like questions in Kentucky or Alabama are going to be vastly different than stuff that people are going to know in Portland, Oregon,
or
California.
Even just my venue seems different.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for sure. But I guess I'm just kind of thinking with like a broader brush. Like, you know, people in the Midwest, you could ask questions about field stuff or harvesting or farming or whatever that everyone would know.
Yeah, I guess.
And then you'd go to, you'd go to New York City. And people would have no fucking clue. And I mean, you know, like even I think that it goes even with bigger stuff like geography and stuff like that. There's just some places that have like better, better schools, that have schools that teach different kinds of things that focus on different kinds of stuff, depending on like how, I don't know, like how
state learning standards. I think that's all like standardized with the federal government. But yeah, I think it really emphasizes the need to have a connection between the quizmaster and the local players. And it's not enough to just like say, okay, this is going to be the difficulty for this area. It's more like, okay, so this is how they did with these topics. What kind of topics do you guys like and enjoy? But at the end of the day, too, if the question is good, the difficulty doesn't even matter. I found out this week, I was just like slaughtering this team. They were in last place at one of my events. Shout out, I'm going to shout them out here, the Craniotomies. But bless them, bless them, because they were writing, even though they didn't know some of the answers, they were writing down great question, amazing question. So it's possible when you write a good question that the difficulty doesn't matter. Anyway, back to his email here. Let's get back to it.
If I may, real briefly, I think talking to the Moist Men last week and, you know, hearing them say that one of the things that they like about trivia is learning new stuff, because you have some people that just want to win. Yeah. And then you have some people that are eager to learn on top of it. Yeah. And those, I think, are the people who get the most out of things like trivia. And that's how I am, is, you know, wanting to learn something that you didn't know, as opposed to just basically wanting a bunch of questions that you do know the answer to, like a Slumdog Millionaire night, where you're just basically getting the showboat, you know, as opposed to, you know, getting some that you know because you know, and being happy that you know them, and also learning some stuff. So I just wanted to interject that.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. That's a great point. Another part of his email here, he talks about the points that he gives per round. Each round is worth a total of 300 points. He's doing five rounds, 300 points apiece, but each team gets to choose which answer is 20, 40, 60, 80, or 100 each round. Each amount can only be used one time each. That's very similar to the format that Taylor sent in. It's basically a confidence point system, but I like the added zeros on the end. It makes it fun. Like, ooh, you got 1800 points. Yeah. Like you're on Jeopardy or something. That could be, I might borrow that. But yeah, there's a couple other things here. After the second round, I give everyone a half sheet of paper to fill out at their table that is on a topic chosen by the previous week's winner. Topics have been as specific as Harry Potter, books only, or as general as orphans. Know your orphans.
Yeah. What's an orphan question you'd give?
What is the name of the orphan who faced off against his parents' murderer named Joe Cool in pop culture?
What is it again?
What is the name of the orphan and the famous orphan in pop culture who faced off against his parents' murderers, a man by the name of Joe Cool?
Oh, when I think of Joe Cool, I think of I think of Snoopy.
I know. I think I'm fucking the name up.
Are you okay?
Because yeah, I was like, wait, that's Snoopy. Like,
is that Charlie Brown?
That's Snoopy. Wasn't the Joker's alias, or the man who made Bruce Wayne, who killed the Thomas and Martha Wayne? Wasn't his name Joe Cool or something like that?
I don't know.
Am I misremembering that? I don't know.
That point doesn't
being,
sound right.
Point being, a Bruce Wayne. I'd have to look one up, I guess. Ugh. Well, quizmaster fail.
No. I wasn't even looking for something specific. But I was going to say something. I'd probably ask a question of Annie. Yeah. Or like a famous orphan.
Oh, true.
I
was thinking Bruce Wayne.
Well, Bruce Wayne is a good one too. Yeah. But I was wondering if you'd make a question like specifically about orphans in general. Like
what is the statistical data of the Census Bureau took of orphans last year?
Yeah.
So I like that idea though. I like letting the winner of the previous team kind of dictate the next, you know,
Joe question. Chill.
Joe Chill. Interesting. I was close.
You're very close. Yeah. That's very easy. I can see the writer just reading Snoopy and be like, you know what?
Yeah.
I'll call him Joe Chill. It's close enough. Wearing some Joe Cool boxers that were so popular in the 80s.
He's got a thesaurus and he's like, what's another word for cool? I have to look this up. Ah, chill. Chill. Okay, anyways, back to this email. After the second... I already read that. In addition to a $20 gift certificate for the winner, I also give $10 gift certificate to the team in second to last place, which I like because it incentivizes teams who aren't doing as well to stay late and keeps them interested in the game.
That's interesting.
Yeah, the second to last place. I have been lately... I haven't been doing the What's Up player. I've just been giving out a gift card to basically whoever comes in last, who stays to the end, you know, and finishes it out as, hey, better luck next time type thing.
Yeah, we did that at Nice Guys for the 4-year anniversary. It was a $50 gift certificate to Nice Guys, which was actually, in my opinion, a better prize than the second place got. But yeah, I mean, usually the teams that stick around, even though they're not doing well, like you said, don't have much incentive and have every reason to just be like, you know, you'll get some teams that will just get up and start leaving before you're even done. And so it gives them a little added bonus to stick around and maybe have another beer or so.
Yeah, I think that's good for a quiz program to have like a last place or second to last place type prize. I actually even called it a dummy prize the other night. Craniotomy, shout out to them again, getting the dummy prize that night. And then he also writes...
what a mean sounding name.
I know.
What a dumb prize.
I kind of like that though, because I give him a little wink, you know, it goes over well. Goes okay, over okay, live. Good. Sounds harsh
as long
right
as
now.
It goes over well.
Yeah. He also writes, this is again, Christopher, the guy who knows everything in Oregon. Twice a night, I like to mix it up with an extra question. I started burning some questions that I really liked, but didn't expect anyone to know as my Hail Mary question at the very end. These are worth a flat 150 to 200 points, depending on how hard I think that they are. So that's a big, I mean, it's like a half a round you get for the last question, wow. Maybe. And he included his all-time favorite, which I thought we could do in a little rate my question later.
Yeah,
so we'll
absolutely.
Skip over that for now that. And come back to that.
Can I just say, I love this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
This is awesome. And this,
that's why I thought, I was like, oh, I got to read the whole thing, basically.
I don't know if, what's his name again?
Christopher.
Christopher. I don't know if you know other Quizmasters, or if you're kind of like on your own island out there, but if you know any others, please, I'm not even saying this to like get them to listen to our podcast, but I would love to get in touch with them and, you know, maybe start like a little bit of a Quizmaster union kind of thing where we can bounce these kinds of ideas, because this is some great stuff. I mean,
yeah,
I really, really like the bonus question that the previous team's winner.
Yeah,
that I want to steal that. Yeah. You know, there are very few ideas. I'm kind of like stuck in my ways, I guess. But that is the kind of idea that I would love to I'd love to borrow. That's great.
Yeah. And let's see here. Oh, this is another. Sometimes I'll have teams list a certain number of things that fit in a category, like the current nations that were part of the Soviet Union. And then he writes, my crown jewel, which I came up with on my own. And again, thank you, Christopher, for writing in with all these details.
Yeah, this is amazing.
Send us an email with your address. We're going to send you a shirt.
Yeah, this is, you know, this is fantastic.
This is, but I love this idea. I think you're going to be into this too. My crown jewel, which I came up with on my own and my players seem to really like, is what I call the overthink, underthink question. I give my teams a category and have them name four or five things that fit the category. But in order to score, the answers have to be both correct and you have to be the only team that wrote that down.
Now, wow, this is like Scattergories.
I was going to say, that's it's a board game style thing that you do. And he says...
did he give an example?
Yes, he did. Good categories are ones where even a team that is not good at trivia can easily think of four to five answers. These are always fun for me because so many times no team gives the most obvious answers. For example, I did Batman villains and no one listed the Joker. I wonder if anybody listed it. Joe Chill.
Right.
With presidents, no one listed Washington. With tree fruits, no one listed apples, oranges, limes, or lemons. Only occasionally do I come up with what I think is a good category, only for teams to really struggle. Like when I did name four Muppets, some teams couldn't even name four.
Wow.
Which is pretty surprising. So
that's very surprising.
I understand your confusion now about what your players are going to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Muppets, very much. Not popular in Oregon. That's weird. I would think that there would be a lot of Muppet fans
very
over
hipster.
There. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. They all look like Muppets
name,
over there.
What are your four? What four Muppets would you write?
Kermit, Fozzie, Big Bird, and Elmo.
Would you say Big Bird is a Muppet?
I believe they're...
You think the from Sesame Street, those are Muppets?
Yes, I believe they're classified as Muppets. Wow. As their species.
That's really interesting. I would have put Kermit, mm-hmm. even though I know that would be one probably picked. I'd put Kermit, Gonzo, Fozzie, and...
I guess I forgot the component of like nobody else is supposed to name them, you know.
Well, yeah, that's
so
the,
like Dr. Teeth.
Dr. Teeth would be a good one. Mm-hmm. I was trying to think of the one with the big lips that's in the band.
Mm.
I think this
looks
is
like
something...
she's from Sonic Youth.
Yes,
Kim Gordon.
I feel like that's something that Fletcher would be good at. I know, like
Kid named 25 probably.
Well, I'm thinking of like Muppet Babies. Because I know that there were like the two like twins. There was a male and a female that had glasses.
Oh,
and they took their glasses off.
Yeah.
They were like little dots.
Oh, yeah.
But I would probably use the Muppet Babies. That's probably where I'd come from. I'm also, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I would accept any Sesame Street creatures as Muppets.
I think they're classified as Muppets. I mean, what are they? Sesame Streetians?
Well, I mean, they're just, you know, they're just... puppets on another show.
So to you, Muppet is the brand.
It's yeah, like I the think brand, so.
Not the idea.
Well, of, that would be my thinking anyway. I yeah. mean, I, we could if, look it up. If I was answering yep. it, I would definitely put just Muppets down from the Muppet universe.
Be aware, like the, listeners. The two if you guys, come to Mark's trivia, this is his distinction.
The two guys in the I can never remember their names. Up. The two guys in the balcony. Waldorf.
Waldorf and Allstaff. Oh God, this is terrible. We should know this.
Yeah,
this is like basic trivia.
I feel like even Waldorf is wrong, but
it is.
Anyway, I'm those two the guys. Story or you know, something. Things like that.
Yeah. Email concludes. Anyway, I love the podcast. Saw someone post about it on the trivia subreddit a few months ago. I think we broke the Reddit terms of service and asked Fletcher to post that for us.
Yeah. And then we just started posting it.
Thanks, Fletcher. And then when I got around to listening to it in late October, I listened to every episode up through that point in about 10 days. Christopher, thank you so much for your wonderful email detailing your trivia night. It sounds like a blast. If you're in the Portland, Oregon area, go to Christopher's Trivia. Look him up. He is the guy who knows everything.
I am going to make it a point to try and visit Portland, Oregon, just to go to his trivia.
All right, you said it.
I did. Well, I know people that live there, and I've wanted to visit.
Yeah.
But I mean, now I've got an added incentive to go because that sounds like it would be really, really awesome.
Right on. Right on. Okay, let's go ahead and take a break and go into our weekly wrap up.
Let's do that wrap up, huh?
At Three Pepper Burrito Company this week, it was C'est la Moist that won.
Ooh.
With 92 points, pretty high score, beating out seven teams. Then on Wednesday at Bury Me Brewing, just here for the beer, I guess they're not regulars. They've come before, but this was their first time back in a while. They won with 79 points, beating out just four other teams. And then it was a packed house last night at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar. And, of course, this was last week now, not last night. We're just recording on Thursday. Peanut the Dog took the week off to mourn HW, beating out 11 other teams with 68 points total at the end there.
What's HW?
George H.W. Bush.
Oh, duh.
Yeah.
Okay.
There.
Hi.
Where you been, man? You haven't been watching the 5 million funerals on C-SPAN?
Well, when I hear H.W., I think of someone with a name like Harry Watson.
Ah, okay.
I don't think of the two middle initials.
Right. Well, you know.
If he said GB, I would have been like, oh, George Bush.
You're no Peanut the Dog then.
Apparently I'm not.
Yeah.
Thank God.
How'd your teams do on Wednesday?
You would have loved it. There was a team that was not going to play. And usually when I go through and there are teams that seem kind of on the fence,
uh-huh.
like I think there was one team I literally said, do you want to play or not? Like I'm not here to force you into playing. Do you want to, what's going on? And they were like, on the fence. I go, look, I'll just give you round one. If you want to keep playing, you can keep playing. They go, all right. Won the first round. They're like, all right.
Then they got amped up.
Yep. So they got round two.
Boom.
Won.
Nice.
Killing it. Yep. Now at this point, they go a beer, a shirt, and I think a mug or something.
They're high on life.
Third round. They get a third round answer sheet. They lost.
Oh.
The team is called the Bismarck Dicks. I'm hoping that they come back because it seemed like they had a really, really good time. They actually thanked me for talking them into playing, which I guess is on par with me saying, are you going to play or not? But the winner of the last round, the Fantastic Yeasts and Where to Find Them, which was Fletcher, Kristen, and Jamie pulling it out in the last round again.
Wow. They had to do
53
something.
Points.
They had to do something because they could not stop the Moist team
yeah.
on Monday night. C'est la Moist. So yep. licking their wounds, they came over to your trivia.
They did.
And pulled it through.
That's good. I was not there on Monday.
Right. I know.
I was having dinner with the big bosses.
But you need to understand, in your absence, the Moist team has now won 2 weeks in a row.
Well, they won one with me there because, and we didn't talk about this, but because I was on my phone.
Right.
You started talking about it and then you stopped. And if I was thinking better of it, I would have just not said anything. But you saw me on my phone.
Uh-huh.
I was on my phone talking to someone that I had not talked to in a bit. And
being disrespectful
in general. Mm-hmm. You were poking me a little bit.
I gave you some warnings.
You gave me some warnings, and Jamie Carmichael took it upon himself to say, go ahead and take the points. I don't give a shit.
Which I did.
And you did.
I did.
And, We would have tied.
You would have tied. It would have come to a tiebreaker.
And it would have come to a tiebreaker, but instead we just lost outright.
You know, Fletcher did have a tiebreaker. He went up against Seth.
I heard they hated this question. And I want to do it as a rate my question.
Okay, we'll hit that later. Yeah, hit that later. Okay, so congratulations to all the teams that came out to No Nonsense Trivia and Nice Guys Pizza Trivia. If you missed it and you want to come join the fun, we will be at Three Pepper Burrito Company on Monday, December 10th in downtown Fort Myers, Florida. Tuesday, December 11th at Macintosh Books and Paper for the No Nonsense Trivia Challenge Books Edition, our second version of that. That's on Sanibel Island right here in Southwest Florida. On Wednesday, December 12th, No Nonsense Trivia Challenge will be at Bury Me Brewing Company. And Thursday, December 13th, you can find us at number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in downtown Cape Coral, Florida. Find more information. Oh, and then also Nice Guys Pizza every Wednesday with Mr. Mark Davis.
Keep forgetting me.
I know. I meant to write a note here, man.
It's okay.
I was like, I'm going to get it. But you know what? I'm remembering earlier and earlier.
That's good.
In the
That's
script.
Good. I guess since I'm not an official No Nonsense trivia, that it's easy for me to just fall by the wayside in your mind.
Oh, you're not by the wayside. You're right there by my front side.
Aww.
My clear side, not the wayside. No, but you know, I mean, we love you do Nice Guys Pizza Trivia. It's not the same thing.
Right. So. Mark Davis presents Nice Guys Pizza Trivia, whatever, in association with No Nonsense Trivia. It would be like one of those things that has like 4 or 5 different like production screens in the beginning of a movie.
Exactly.
It's like Paramount, DC, Marvel, like whatever, like
just Brett Schneider presents an adventuring company production in association with No Nonsense Media.
Right. But yeah, so it's a good wrap up.
Yeah. Find more information about all of our live events online at nononsensetrivia.com. All of our events are free to play. Join us.
Won't you? Also, I'm going to be doing a special event trivia that I'm sure people can't go to, but this is kind of a call to arms, I guess, for Christopher and other such people. I'm doing one for a local restaurant here called Gather for their holiday thing, and they want some questions related to the food and beverage industry, and I do not know much about it, being a pretzel boy. So if anybody has any ideas, I'm kind of outsourcing here on some good questions that would be known, you know, by the greater, you know, front of house, back of house world of restaurants and stuff. Any good trivia questions or even any places to get good information about that stuff, you can shoot it my way or to Lee, and I'm sure he can forward that to me. But I'm gonna need a good amount of questions, about 20 questions, at least some of it related to that stuff. So
yeah, I'll take this opportunity to call out a question that I found. I you know, sometimes you find these trivia repositories and it'll be all manner of questions on there, and you're like, whoa, that's a really cool question.
Yep.
And then you look into it and you find out it's not even true. You know, there's one about beer. It's illegal to take 3 sips of beer while standing up in Texas. Not true. It's on a ton of websites about trivia, beer trivia, and stuff.
That's
like that.
So weird.
It's not true. You can have 4 sips of beer while standing up everywhere in Texas, and you won't be facing any crime. So,
well, you know, it's funny because we actually asked a waitress one time, just kind of on a lark. Everybody knows that it's 86 to get something taken off of a food item. But is there a code to get it put back on, or to get something put on? And she's like, yeah, 68. A lot of people don't know that, 68. I tried looking it up and I asked like 100 different people.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Not a one.
Almost wondering if she was having a bit of a go. You know?
Yeah.
A bit of a go.
You're just having a laugh. You're having a laugh. But no, a lot of people... you know, it seems like a lot of people just know their stuff from how they know it and think that that's kind of how it is writ large, and it's not necessarily.
So. Yeah, I believe that's a jargon, right?
Trade talk.
All right. Well, we're going to take a short break followed by some trivia in round number 1. Mark, before we get started, let's shout out our Patreons.
Please, we got some proverbial, no, we got some Rumpel Snail Skins.
Yes, the Mikes.
The Mikes. Mike
Neither
J.
Neither of which are my favorite. Mike I like C. them equally.
You like them equally.
I like them equally.
They're equal. They're equally loved. Mm-hmm. We got the equal proverbial names. Life Keepers.
Uh-huh.
Max and Lucas. Our guest from last week. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. And then.
Our team captains.
We've got our team captains. Fletcher and Kristen. Fantastic
Catcher
people.
And Fiston.
Yes.
Yes.
And yeah. they are wonderful. They're going to Disney this weekend.
Ooh, jealous.
Going to have a good time.
Yep. Hey, by the way, we put some of a clip up on our YouTube. What is Walt Disney's middle name? It's a Ooh. Clip from an earlier episode, episode 5, I believe.
It's not Mickey.
It's not Mickey. Somebody, I posted on Reddit and somebody just wrote, Evil. Middle name is Evil.
Jesus.
I'm like, it's kind of close, actually, because it is Elias.
Yeah.
And then close. Also, somebody else commented a bunch of extra Disney facts. There's some early codes that use his initials WED, like they're like park codes. So
Jesus.
They were saying, basically like, you know, it's another tale of like the over knowledgeable player that's like, huh, that's so easy. Don't you know that the park codes at Disney, used to have WED? Every Disney fan knows that.
Christ almighty.
Yeah.
I had no clue.
If you want to hear us talk shit about those kind of players, go back and listen to episode 5. We talk about that on that episode too. But anyways, let's go ahead and get into our first round.
Let me go ahead and start with you. Question number 1. What nationality is country singer Keith Urban? What nationality is country singer Keith Urban?
Keith Urban. What nationality is he?
What nationality is Keith Urban?
Hmm. Well, my impulse is to go with American, but maybe he's Canadian or maybe he's a Brit. I don't know. I've never heard him. You said country singer?
Yes.
Who's the guy that played Judge Dredd in Dredd? Carl Urban. I didn't know that. Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Oh man, almost got those two confused. I was like, wait a second, I'm getting my Urbans wrong.
Hold the friggin' phone.
And we're talking about Keith Urban.
Yes.
I think he's British. I don't know why, but I'm getting pulled over there. He's a British country singer. Am I right?
What?
Is he British?
No.
No? Canadian?
Nope.
American?
No.
Whoa.
He's New Zealandish.
Oh, okay. He's like a Flight of the Conchords type.
You know, it's weird because when I mentioned it to somebody that I know, they were like, yeah, no, yeah, duh.
I feel
I was
like,
really? So I thought it was going to be easy. And when I asked in my trivia, Australian, almost everybody said Australian. So everybody in the fucking world knows that he talks like that.
Right.
Except for fucking me, I guess, Oceania. And you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually referenced Oceania, which is funny to me because no one still knows what the fuck it is, even though I've asked like 5 questions about it now.
At where Atlantis is in Oceania.
Right. That's exactly what it sounds like. Is that Waterworld? What are y'all talking about?
The Aquaman memes are good.
Oh,
I don't know if you've
yeah.
seen like the prequel.
Can I watch this? So I haven't seen the first one, Waterboy.
Right, and then
Waterworld is the post quill.
I didn't see that one. I also liked SpongeBob Leather Pants.
yes, that was good too.
All right, let me ask you a question. Let me get one on you. I've got a question of Q Sports here. Sports. In what Q Sport? That's C-U-E, not Q-U-E.
Okay, I was about to ask you.
In what Q sport? Sorry, I got the giggles for some reason. In what Q sport would a player try to pocket 15 red and 6 colored balls in a set order?
Well, I'm not going to be spending too much time on this one because I don't know a whole lot of like billiards and like Q sports that I know the names of. I know there's snooker, and I know that snooker is something to do with red balls and shit, and I can't remember like what other games there are. I know a couple of other ones, but I'm just going to say snooker.
You're right. It is snooker.
Okay.
It's not 9-ball, 8-ball.
Right.
Those are the other two I know. I had some teams that wrote down billiards, and you should know if that's what you were guessing. Billiards is just another name for Q sports. It's not like a specific
Okay, it is.
Sport
so it's not
itself.
Specifically like the game that we play with the multicolored balls.
Right. That's 8-ball that we play.
It is.
Yep. And then nine ball, you take the, I can't remember how many, but you basically make a diamond out of what you would normally rack. And
it's called 8-ball, even though there's 16 balls.
Yes. I'm pretty sure.
That's confusing. I have no idea.
Dude, I don't even know where the Amazon is, so don't take my word for it. Okay. Fair I'm flying enough. By the seat of my pants.
Yeah.
We're going to leave that in, though, and free missed correction if anybody wants to look it up.
Yeah, if anybody wants.
You're probably right.
I'll probably forget by the time the episode is done, and I'm not going to look it up now.
You should know that I said it with full confidence to Mark, even though I knew. That's what you have to do when you're a quizmaster and people start questioning you.
Yeah.
You just have to present a unified front that's like, yes, this is the answer that I would accept. People last night arguing with me about a question I'm going to ask you later. They're like, no, I looked it up. I'm like, look. We can look a lot of things up on the internet, okay? But what matters is the answer I would accept, which is this.
All right, I'm going to give you a second question. This is an easy one. Almost everybody got this. I kind of thought that maybe it would be sneaky, but I'm like 99.9% sure that you're going to get it. What pop singer got a push into fame by being sampled on the chorus of the Eminem song Stan?
I do know this. Yeah. Got a bed at all. Morning raindrops on my window. And I can see it all. And even if I could, it would all be great. With your picture on my wall, it reminds me that it's not so bad. It's not so bad. Dear Stan.
This would be the last letter I ever write your ass. I wrote you for 3 months. I don't deserve it. Whatever the fuck, yeah. And he starts going all
angry. I'll tell you that I believe that Elton John played the song at the Grammys or MTV Music Awards.
He did.
But on the record, that would be Dido.
One letter off from Dildo.
I thought you were going to tell me I got the name wrong by one letter.
No, you were right.
Okay, good. Like Dido. Actually, it's Dida.
And she was there and gone. Flash in a pan.
Yep. I remember, I like the original version of that song. That's called Thank You, I believe is the name of that song, right? Doesn't she?
Yeah.
There's like a whole... Yeah.
I want to thank you.
See, it was so nice to hear like, oh, there's more to the song than
it was
just
crazy
what was
because in the Eminem song, it all stays very minor and sad. But that, it's got this like this major lift on the chorus. Where, you know, the verses sound all sad or whatever, and then the choruses are like, I want to thank you for giving me the best day of my life, she sings. So, yeah, Dido, correct.
Very good.
Good all job.
Right. You're going to hate me for this one because you're not going to get it.
Okay.
But you might. This is a modern history question. It was the year of the blank kings, 1936, the year of the blank kings. How many kings sat on the British throne in 1936?
Modern history, 1936. It's so history's so fucking weird.
Yeah.
It's so weird that modern history is fucking almost 100 years ago. And I get it, because history's so fucking long.
Yeah.
That on a long enough timeline, it is very, very modern. But you're like, modern history. I'm like, what, like 2 years ago? And you're 1930. The year was 1822.
This is where it's helpful to know your subcategories, Mark. That would be contemporary history.
Okay, thanks.
Or as you like to call it, current events. I feel like current events is even like, this is immediate. Like, this question will not be a current event in 2 weeks.
Would you ask a question about something that happened that day, earlier that day?
I did on Monday, and a bunch of people got it right.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
it was in the news.
You worry that like maybe people haven't had enough time, but I think if you're having trivia, like I have trivia at like 9, that, all right. If so-and-so died or like this, that, and the other thing happened, you've probably heard about it now, unless you're living under a rock.
Right.
Or you're being like willfully ignorant.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 3, because I keep thinking we three kings.
Well, that's from the Bible, I believe, or some song related to Christmas.
Okay.
That's not the Little Drummer Boy. What song is that? Help me out.
I don't know. I mean, there's a movie called Three Kings.
We three kings of Orient are. You know the song?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right.
It is Three Kings.
Oh!
Yeah. So you got lucky. You got lucky on that. It was...
I'm up all night to get lucky.
I don't have them written down
like
here.
Like the Daft Punk.
I believe it was George... I might be wrong on the numbers here. George the Seventh, right? He was old king, and he died. And then his son, Edward, he was set to become the king, and he was like, guys, before I become king, what I want to do... is I want to marry this American who's been divorced twice. And the British monarchy was like, no, you can't do that. And he was,
no.
They're like, don't you want to be king? And he's like, nah. So he gave the throne to his brother, who is named George.
I want to sex her.
Yeah. Yep. And they did. They did sex. They sexed for 3.5 decades before he died.
Indeed. Bummer.
Yep. But hey, at least you know, it was probably worth it, right? I mean, come on. If you're like, you've got the ultimate trump card in the relationship, like, babe, I could have been king of England. And I gave it up for you. Country.
Yeah, right.
You like, anything you want.
Right.
How many times you can play that fucking king card on me? God damn it.
Enough already.
Paying for that king shit for 3 decades now.
All right. Now I owe you. No. Yeah, yes. I owe you a third question.
Yep.
We're flying through. According to the Environmental Working Group, or the EWG, what fruit ranks highest in pesticide residue levels?
Hmm. Yeah, interesting.
According to the Environmental Working Group, EWG,
yeah.
What fruit ranks highest in pesticide residue levels?
So I'm looking for a fruit that is just so attractive to pests, basically. Like the most, it's bringing all the pests to the yard. You know, interestingly,
the milkshake plant.
It's the milkshake fruit. Yeah, so I was outside weeding my yard, my garden, my weird like xeriscape thing that's been just overgrown, and my neighbor comes over and he's like, "Hey, you know what? Like, just get you some Roundup, take care of all that." And it's like, "Bro, you think I haven't thought about that?" And I said, "I don't like using that stuff, man, because you know they say it gives you cancer." And he's like, "I've never heard that." I was like, "Really?
How in the hell?"
Right. And then I was like thinking, like, I'll give you the Roundup I have, but I don't want him to get cancer. I'm going to go with tomato.
The correct answer is the apple.
Oh.
The apple.
Interesting.
Yes. Okay.
I don't know. I guess, I don't know. We are the country with the most apples.
Well, you know, it's funny, right? Because I was kind of thinking of like surface area.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you think of like things like strawberries or whatever, it's like, well, there's not a whole lot of room there. You know, it's easy for pesticides to miss entirely.
Yeah.
But apples being so bulbous and not having a lot of like leafy topping necessarily, it's kind of easy for them to get just fucking housed.
Right. Is watermelon a fruit?
Yeah.
It is?
I think so.
Hmm.
It's got seeds on the inside.
Right. Man, it's bizarre. It's bizarre. Yeah. What is a fruit? We should know this. We should know this.
Yeah.
I actually looked it up the other day, but I've ever forgotten what defines a fruit.
Perfect.
But
just like a good quiz master.
Man, when you get to doing trivia, on one hand, you learn all this shit, but on the other hand, it all gets spaghettied
in
your
seriously,
brain.
It's exhausting.
Yeah.
It's so hard to remember everything.
Hope you like to read, because that's what you're going to be doing as a quiz master.
Well, you know, I famously re-asked the same question the week after I asked a question.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, hey.
It's a hard knock life.
It is.
All right, here's your third question.
So tired.
Yeah, I've got this one, and then we can take another little break.
All right.
Who played piano?
Elton John. Just kidding.
Who played piano? I just heard your stomach answer on that one. Did you hear that?
That was my throat.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was like a weird throat drink thing. I apologize to everyone.
No, it was beautiful. I was like, yeah.
Hopefully caught up. You remember, man.
I wanted to start singing jazz like in a Disney movie. Like
next episode's our 25th episode. Can you believe that shit?
Hit it, man. Hit it.
But do you remember a long time ago when my stomach made that noise?
Of course I do. I thought
maybe our 25th episode should be a recap episode of the best moments of the 24 episodes we've had before it.
That would be fun.
Well, we'll see.
But do people even like clip shows?
I don't know.
What do you write us and let us know what you guys would like to hear for the 25th episode?
Yeah,
like
you guys
if it's a theme
hear,
or a clip show, like a best of, because we do have some stats we could work with. We could literally see like what you know our popular clips on YouTube are and play those, talk about them. We'll figure something out.
But we do have a very special guest coming up soon.
Yes.
Too.
Yes.
Oh. For the 26th episode or so.
Right. Well, I would say we even have a few special
people. We have a few special guests
lined up
for sure.
Yeah, more guests coming.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the question one more time. This is a music question.
Okay.
I know you love music. And
here we go.
I try to only pick questions that I think you will find interesting or difficult because I don't want to throw you any softballs. For example, one question I asked this week that I know you would get, I'm going to assume you would get it, is who released the albums Honky Chateau, Caribou.
Yep.
Who is it?
Elton John.
That's right. It's the answer you already said.
Yeah.
Basically. It's so funny. I can't ask you that one. I can't. But I can ask you a question like this.
Okay. Who played piano?
Who played piano for Bob Dylan to help him rehearse his part in 1985's We Are the World charity single? Bob Dylan comes into the studio. He's surrounded by all these amazing singers going, what the fuck am I doing here? We gotta change the world. You and me.
You
but
know,
he couldn't get it. He couldn't get it. And somebody said, Bob, you're awesome. You belong here. Let me play some piano for you and help you out. And then he played, and Bob Dylan rehearsed it like 6 or 7 times. By the way, look at this in the show notes. I'm going to post the video. It's a beautiful little excerpt.
Of him singing and like just staring off.
Mm-hmm. And I was trying to get it.
It's so weird. And a lot of people, you know, this is something I think you and I have talked about, and I don't want to go off on too much of a tirade here, but for all of the talk that people have about not making fun of people and body acceptance and bullying, et cetera, like that, I think that clip started really making its rounds right when like someone had killed themselves or something. And people are like posting this fucking video, making fun of Bob Dylan. It's like, oh, Bob Dylan, look at Bob Dylan. It's like, Bob Dylan was probably fucking on heroin or something. Like, he was obviously not in a good place. And it's like, are we really going to, like, talk about how we need to, like, accept this and the other thing and, like, worry about people killing themselves and then, like, make fun of someone openly on this thing? It's kind of like the whole neck thing, the guy with the neck.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're talking about, like, the just right next to each other, like, on one
the juxtaposition of, like,
on social media.
We need to ease up on making fun of people. Mm-hmm. But also loving making fun of people.
Well, Bob Dylan has a very characteristic and unique voice, and I'm doing it out of love here. I mean, I'm not like...
Well, that video, if we're talking about the same one, it looks like something is wrong with him. It does not look like he doesn't get it.
We are the world?
Yeah.
Oh, he's, you know, he's a little sweaty, and he is kind of... He looks a little strung out, but I didn't... Yeah. You know, I interpreted that... I actually just interpreted that as, like, stress and, like... performance anxiety with like all these like pop stars like Cyndi Lauper, yeah, Michael Jackson
maybe
is in the room,
yeah.
But
so who played piano to help him practice We Are the World? I'm guessing, I mean, I don't know if it's someone who's known for playing piano.
So you've seen this clip?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're trying to place who's in the background.
I guess I wasn't even like thinking about it. What year was this?
85.
Kind of want to say Quincy Jones because I think he produced it.
Quincy Jones did produce it, but I'll give you a hint. It's somebody that appears singing on the track.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like fucking 80 people singing.
Well, I'm saying it's not Quincy Jones by that.
Gotcha. Well, pitter patter. I don't want to think too long on it. I'm going to say... Man, this is tough. I don't know why I can't let this go. Because it's a music question. That's why.
You're invested.
Yeah. I'm pot committed.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say... We Are the World. Who sings on We Are the World that plays piano? I'll say, fucking Billy Joel.
Oh, so close. There is one other singing piano player in the mix, at least.
Is it Elton John?
It's not Elton John. That would be funny, though. It's Stevie Wonder.
Oh,
Stevie Wonder.
Yep. Okay. There you go.
Yeah.
Full Stevie W.
Yep.
Steve Land. What's his last? Judkins. Is that it? I think his real name is
really?
Steven Judkins.
I thought you were doing the postponing Malondry, like extent celebrity name extension.
His real first name is definitely Steveland.
Steveland?
Yep.
Like Cleveland, but with Steve? I like that name. I've never heard that before. Steve.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, his real name is Steveland Steveland Hardaway Morris. Oh, Knee Judkins. God damn, I pulled that out of my ass. You see that?
Yep.
Oh, sometimes it works out. Okay.
The Judkin sisters.
And that's it for the first round, right?
That's it. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Now we'll be back. Are we doing miscorrections? Goddamn right we are.
Yes, we are.
We're going to do some miscorrections. We got some Rate My Questions coming up later on in the episode. And of course, round two following this break. Hello, line three.
With a missed correction. Missed corrections. Just had to do
missed corrections. Missed corrections.
Whoa.
Ray Romano.
That was a wet whisper I got that time. All right, our first missed correction this week comes from Jane. Jane, spelled J-A-Y-N-E.
Ooh.
In the show notes for I Can Skip It in My Dreams, and yes, I do read those, which I'm surprised and honored that somebody's finally taken the time.
Absolutely.
You always wonder, you're typing that shit up, and you're like, who's reading this? Who's reading this? Thank you, Jane. You misspelled Jane Mansfield's name. She is not my namesake, but the only famous Jane, other than Jane Fonda, who changed her name. Mm-hmm. So, thank you, Jane. I've corrected that in the notes. She also writes, I also have another miscorrection about the pronunciation of Mariska Hargitay's name, which makes sense since you and Mark don't frequent Law & Order SVU very often, but her first name is pronounced Mariska. I love the podcast and feel very smart that I could finally submit a missed correction.
Thank you very much, Jane. We appreciate it.
Our ignorance is your pleasure this time.
Our pain is your pleasure.
Yeah. And then we got a missed correction. This is kind of not really a correction, but just a bit of an additional fact here from Kristen. You guys mentioned the movie Manhunter on the podcast last week. That's that first movie that features Hannibal Lecter in it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that they filmed the first part of the movie on Captiva?
I did not.
I did not know that. I thought that was interesting. Even more interesting, the house was owned by Bob Rauschenberg, one of Southwest Florida's hometown heroes in the art world.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who don't know Rauschenberg, he was a multimedia pop Dadaist artist. One piece of interesting trivia about him is one time he made a new piece of artwork by erasing another famous artist's work. Willem de Kooning. He made a new piece called Erasure of de Kooning.
Well, there you go. So it doesn't get much more on the nose than that.
Yeah, he's so pretty absurd. But yeah, he basically, his whole thing was like, the line between art and our real life objects is so blurry that let's just make real life, kind of like Andy Warhol in that sense. Let's like celebrate the real life object. And he did a bunch of mixed media art. And when he died, there was actually like this like huge legal battle because the estate threw away some of his studio, and then like some pickers came and they picked it up and they were like, oh, we've got Rauschenberg work that's never been shown before. And the estate was like, that's ours. We threw it away. It wasn't supposed to be released. And then the city came in and was like, no, it's ours. They threw it away. It's ours now. So I don't know how that exactly got sorted out, but interesting character. Thank you guys for writing in. If you'd like to write into the show.
Oh, hold on. I have one.
Oh, my bad.
Gary, Mike's father.
Gary?
One of our proverbial light keepers.
Gary?
Gary's father. Is that your SpongeBob SquarePants?
Well, that's from Howard Stern.
Oh, okay.
They do a drop. Somebody going, Gary!
He gave us an FYI.
Yeah.
According to what I was taught in school, the Kilroy was here image that we spoke about on the last episode actually dated back to ancient Rome, where it is literally etched in stone and can be seen to this day. He remembers his Latin teacher telling us he couldn't find any verification online, but he just kind of wrote that in to say that he remembers hearing that was actually that image dates all the way back to ancient Rome.
I don't know if this is a Mandela effect thing or not, but when you messaged me that this week, I thought in my head like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like I just kind of accepted it. And now you're telling me that there's like little evidence of it online. Now I'm like, whoa, is this true? Or I mean, it's
something
possible
that we should definitely look a little more into, but maybe
it would make sense
putting out into the hive mind. They can do it. I remember drawing that shit when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, cause it just, I mean, you're an artist.
It's very simple
and a very, very good artist, and I am a very, very simple artist. And I always just, you know, the whole thing of having like something behind and in front of a wall, I remember drawing the fingers and the nose and being like, oh, it's interesting because this stuff, like there's something peeking over the wall, coming over it. And then there's all this like behind the wall. And it's just kind of like a weird, oh, wow, I can draw this thing and like give perspective like that. It's like one of the earliest things I remember drawing and being like, oh, there's stuff behind and in front.
I wonder if it still exists as a like memed drawing these days. Like, are there like kids like you now drawing it nowadays, or is it just totally lost?
I'm sure there are people still drawing the S thing.
Yep.
And people still drawing that thing.
Long live the S thing.
Absolutely.
You know, and if I could stick up for you for a second, you're like, oh, I'm not an artist, but I just want our listeners to know I'm going to stand up for this guy right now as a creative artist. He was taking pictures at breakfast this morning.
Ooh.
And he was manipulating the drinking water glass to create this kind of barrel filter. And you know, that's thinking outside the box there. So you've got that creative brain. Any other miscorrections?
No, that's it.
Okay. If you'd like to write into the show with a miscorrection or a rate my question, you can email us at nonsensetrivia@gmail.com. Okay.
Right into the no.
Yeah. Write into us the no. Fuck. Fuck. All right, let's just get on with this.
Right into us.
You know what I'm saying.
Crash,
email us.
Crash.
What
into
I'm trying to
us.
Say is email us. Except
hike
for,
up your skirt a little more.
No, I was going to say, no, Dave
show
Matthews,
the world
please.
To me. Sorry. All right, I think you owe me a question, motherfucker.
I do.
Let's do it.
What 2009 sci-fi action film was produced under the working title Corporate Headquarters?
Ooh, this is a good question.
2009
action
sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
Corporate Headquarters is what the working title was.
See, man, I'm so bad with years.
Well, think back, you know, work your way backwards, you know, like what else? Can you remember anything else about 2009?
No.
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 It's all one big stream of
seriously,
time.
Yeah.
Unsevered time.
I was 29.
Mm-hmm. Think back to
sci-fi
the best
action
movies of
I'll say Predators.
Predators. Oh yeah, the not the recent one that came out. There was that one with that had
Adrian Brody.
Adrian right? Brody. Yeah.
No, I don't know if that was the right title.
Corporate Headquarters. That's a hilarious name for that. It's not that. I think that's a little before too. I want to say that's like 2005 maybe.
Okay.
I think you're going a little far back. This would be Star Trek, the J.J. Abrams relaunch.
Oh, okay.
Corporate Headquarters. Like,
gotcha.
It fits in a weird way. It has nothing to do with space or sci-fi. But I don't know why that working title just fits for some reason. But anyways. Bring me a question, Mark.
Let me go bring you a question. The question is, what is the carambola fruit more commonly referred to as? The carambola fruit.
Hmm.
C-A-R-A-M-B-O-L-A.
Carambola. Carambola. Well, bola is like ball, right? If I'm breaking it down. Carom something ball? Carom, caramel, brown ball, orange ball, could be like an orange or a tangerine, or a tangelo, or maybe a grapefruit even. I don't know why I'm being pulled towards the citrus territory. I could be totally wrong. Oh, wait. Maybe. How could I be so stupid? I said brown and then I moved right over into orange. It could be the cantaloupe. Which is a light brown. See, the kiwi is more of like an oblong shape. So, I think I'm going to go with the cantaloupe.
The correct answer is the star fruit.
Oh, well, I didn't have any logic for that. Well, it's good to know, I guess. Carambola. Now, because I talked about it for so long, I'm going to associate it with all those other fruits instead.
Right.
Oh, yeah, brown ball.
Yeah, it's a coconut.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot coconut. That would have been
That's where I thought you were going to go.
Yeah. Yep. Everybody act like they forgot about coconut, as the song goes. All right, here's your second question. Pay attention, because this one's got some twists and turns. What double-named band? In other words, the name is the same word twice. debuted in 2012 with a self-titled album just 7 months before a Western revenge movie sharing the first half of their name debuted in theaters.
One more time.
I knew you were fucking listening.
I was listening.
What double-named band? In other words, the name is the same word twice.
Like Talk Talk.
Exactly. Right. This was a question that was inspired by them. It's not them, though.
Okay.
Debuted in 2012 with a self-titled album just 7 months before a Western revenge movie sharing half of their name debuted in theaters.
That's just so much information to take in.
Part of the movie name is their name duplicated is their name. And the band came out with their self-titled debut in 2012.
A Western
revenge film.
Revenge film. And the name of the Western revenge film is one word?
No, it's two words, but the first word of it is part of this band's name. I know this question. This is the best I could do.
It's a lot to take in. That's why you weren't listening. It's like, that's got like fucking 12 hints in it.
I saw you tapping over there. I saw you tapping.
I was tapping. Yeah. I was tapping, but I was listening.
I just, I have PTSD from when I hosted that podcast with John and he was playing World of Warcraft while he podcast. I just feel like, I'm not fucking around on the podcast.
I hear you. Western revenge film. Hateful Eight. Django Unchained, Django Django. I don't know a band called Django Django. 2008, Django Unchained. It's the best I've got, I think. Is there a band called Django Django?
Mark,
Unchained, Unchained.
There is a band called Django Django.
Okay, I was going to go with that anyway.
That is
wow,
the answer.
I didn't know that.
They're great. One of the guys is related to one of the members of the Beta Band. I don't know if you've ever listened to them.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Like Trip Hop Project.
Wow. So I haven't heard that name in fucking ages.
I believe he produced their self-titled debut too. The sounds are very similar, but this is basically like a rock version of the Beta Band. So pretty chill, still spacey guitars and stuff, but kind of like heavy on the like male chorus harmonies angle.
Have you listened to Stereolab much?
No, I've heard a couple songs, but I wouldn't say I've listened to them much.
Somebody send me a song by them. It's good.
I'll check him out.
Check him out.
Pass me that song. We got to listen to that Kenny Chesney track you were suggesting to me, too. Yeah. What is it?
Kenny Chesney does a cover of I Want to Know What Love Is.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
Yeah, we're going to have to check that
out. It's one of those things where you're like, oh, this was written for this style of music. Right. And I don't care who the fuck. You can say whatever you want. I think it's fucking great. Here's a question for you. The Huey Lewis in the News song Power of Love was written for what blockbuster film?
I know this, even though I had some problems pulling out the name Einstein in a previous episode of the dog from this movie.
For some reason, I love asking you questions about this movie.
Yeah, Back to the Future is the movie title.
That
and,
is correct.
Is that the only song that he did for that?
I think so, but okay. I might be wrong.
I like when he, I'm not even a fan of him, but I do like when his movies songs show up in movies. Like, very good as well in American Psycho. Right.
Uh-huh.
Featured prominently in one scene.
Yep. Do you remember the name of the album?
Sports.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
a weird name for an album. You know what I learned about Huey Lewis? I'm in a private group on Facebook. Apparently has a huge chode.
Is that a dick?
Yeah.
Okay.
Huge hog.
I don't know why I thought chode was like, what's the space in between?
What people say a chode is, mm-hmm. is a penis that is wider than it is long. I've always heard.
That's a slang. So kind of like a bullfrog toad, or what are they?
Jesus Christ!
You
interrupted
toad.
Me mid swallow.
Like a bufo toad. You've seen
buffo?
Those?
Yeah. Is it bufo?
I don't know how to pronounce it, but we've got this invasive toad species here.
Yeah, just like wide and
in Florida, warty. Warty and Brown,
Boy.
Okay, here is, speaking of disgusting things, let me ask you a question about a disease.
Perfect.
And end this one on a high note. How many years did it take for the bubonic plague to wipe out half of Europe?
You got some tough ones this week, my friend.
Thank you.
How many years did it take? I'll say five.
Oh, no. It's way too much. Do you want the answer or do you want to take a second guess?
I'll say one.
Well, all right. That's pretty quick. It's two.
Okay.
It's probably closer to two than one, but yeah, it's 1347 to 1349. Wow. Half of Europe gone.
See, okay, this 1300s, I had no idea when the bubonic plague happened. I thought maybe it was like the 1800s or 1700s.
To give you an idea of where I started, I first searched for, I was like, is it in the 500s? It's way off.
Time is so fucked up.
But that was when I posted this on the No Nonsense Facebook page a couple weeks ago. 536 was an especially bad year. There was like some kind of like volcano that like darkened a quarter of the earth and caused mass starvation in the year 536.
Jeez.
So that was only slightly worse than this year.
How long ago did apes become humans?
I mean, it's not that apes became humans, but there was a split. Well, you know what I mean. Like,
you know what I mean. Like,
millions of years ago.
Jesus Christ.
Right?
How fucked up. I mean,
it takes a long time to do that.
It's tiring. How do scientists do this? I get so tired just thinking about, like, there were human beings dying of the bubonic plague in the 1300s.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Right.
It's just so tiring. All right.
I mean, just to point out, Kyle pointed out when I was talking to her about this, that's the real life Thanos right there. The bubonic plague just came. It was like half gone.
Snap. Yep. By the way, we saw the trailer for Avengers 4.
Yeah.
And we'll rate that trailer with this looks okay.
Yep. That's my opinion on it.
I think it's going to be
great. I'm going to see it. Yep, I'm going to love
it. It's going to be great. And this is the first trailer for it. And I know they're trying to like save some stuff for the future trailers, etc.
I love this this other podcast or video YouTube channel, Red Letter Media. And they constantly make fun of what we just did. But I don't care. It's true. Like, it's like, yep, it's underwhelming, but we're going to love it.
Yo, I mean, you know, they haven't let us down yet. I will say the one thing I loved about it most was the look on Hawkeye's face.
Yeah, that was cool.
Because he's been doing some shit, and I have a feeling his family got, and he's ready to fucking do some shit.
Do you know about his character name, who he's playing, like what his new role is, no, basically? So he was in a costume worn by the hero Ronin, and you might know that a Ronin is a masterless samurai.
Yes.
Yeah, so he's definitely going to be playing a character like a man without a country type, you know, rogue Avenger type thing. And I believe that Ronin was originally another character from Daredevil in the comics called Echo that is a deaf like mercenary, basically a female deaf mercenary. And I hope they bring that character. And that was a fun little thing. But who knows what's going on with Daredevil?
Whenever I think of Hawkeye, I think of him getting his whole family killed. And he's, do you know what I'm talking about?
In the comics?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that in the Ultimates?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not where the main timeline.
And he's handcuffed, mm-hmm, where he's like, has his hands bound.
You just messed up one thing.
And he fucking pulls his fingernails out.
You left my fingernails in.
And he fucking flicks them and blinds his captors. Holy shit.
You better tie up my toenails too.
It's so badass. It's so, like, Hawkeye always catches so much shit because he's kind of, like, not a superhero. Like, he's not a mutant. He's not, like, a, you know, he's not imbued
he's
with any.
Peak human.
Yeah, he's peak human, yeah, as opposed to, like, super, super human or whatever.
Right.
But, man, that just made you love him. Fucking blood dripping down from his fingers. Ugh.
That would be, if he did get, like, some kind of extra power, how dangerous would that be if he could shoot out, like, anything from his body with precision? Like, you left in my eyelashes.
I love
and
that.
My nose hairs.
Yeah, that'd be going a little far. Here's your third question. What does mass multiplied by velocity give you?
Mass multiplied by velocity?
Yes.
Is it force?
No.
Mass multiplied by velocity. Impact?
No. I'll give you one more.
Kineticism.
I don't Close. Know. The correct answer is momentum.
Momentum. Okay.
Momentum.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. I mean, if Thanks. I had some more time, I feel a little pressured.
We got a lot of people putting like acceleration,
yeah,
things like that, kineticism, that kind of thing, but it's momentum.
That's good. That's good. And we probably have some science oriented listeners that are just like, they knew it immediately. They're like, nope.
I think it's the second law.
Yeah.
So
I'm unfamiliar. I'm an anarchist, science anarchist.
Ooh.
I shoot my eyelashes out
this
of my
world
eyes.
Is fucking flat, buddy. Sorry. Jesus Christ, that sounds gonna be burned into my ears.
All right. Yep. Yeah, all right. So that's enough trivia for now. Round number two. We're gonna take another short little break, and then we're gonna do Christopher's Rate My Question, and then our final question. And we're back.
Guess who's back?
It's Ray Romano
back
with the
again.
Rate My Question music.
Ray Romano.
I was going to do it with you, and then I totally blanked. I couldn't, my brain couldn't process Ray Romano impression plus melody.
It's tough.
And I froze up. Thanks for
it's a tough thing to have all that work
that
together.
Yeah. All right, this is Christopher's question. Not officially sent in as Rate My Question, but why spoil the fun and read it in the intro when we can just mine it for content later on?
We'll split it up because Christopher is so good.
Yes, thanks, Christopher. Here is his question. This is, again, one of his favorite Hail Mary questions that he described. What was the original name of the baseball team now called the New York Yankees when they played their first season in 1901?
This is a good question.
Mm-hmm. The New York Yankees, when they played their first season in 1901, what was their name? This is not just a good question. I'll be honest. This is a great question because this is actually interesting to know.
Yeah.
It's not just the answer is kind of whatever, but the reasoning behind the answer is interesting.
The Dodgers, or no, the Yankees, their name.
I know why you're thinking of the Dodgers, because they were the Brooklyn Dodgers, but then they became the LA Dodgers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not them. You can tap out if you need to. I mean, if you don't, you know, just giving you an out here.
The Yankees. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm trying to think of like teams that like change location.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Browns are now the Baltimore Ravens, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because the owner moved them to Baltimore and made them the Ravens. Everybody hated them and wanted them dead. And then the NFL just gave the Browns or gave Cleveland the Browns again. Here you go.
Right. Similar situation here a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't want to give you too big of a hint, but
I'm going to say, I'll say the Boston Braves.
No, you're so close though. And it's so funny that you brought up Baltimore because it is the Baltimore Orioles.
Really?
Yes. This is what Christopher writes. I love this question because the correct answer is actually the Baltimore Orioles. And because people who love baseball and know a lot about its history will probably think it's the Highlanders and be excited that they knew it. But the Yankees actually played two seasons in Baltimore before moving to New York. And it's also fun to point out that the current Baltimore Orioles began life as the Milwaukee Brewers, which is, of course, yet another different currently existing team. So there he just laid out five reasons why this question is awesome. I give it an A+. I mean, obviously.
Yeah, that's great.
That's a good question.
It's almost too hard, though.
Yeah, but again, this is one that's worth a half a category's points.
Yeah,
so you're getting two or three questions.
Well, I mean, I'm not
going
to be the one to talk about questions being too fucking hard because,
yeah.
I mean,
I was
going to say, damn.
Yeah, people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw their chodes through the window. Anyway, you got a question for me? Final question?
I do.
Okay.
The website Wikipedia, you're an internet man.
I am an internet. I'm a man of the internet.
You're a man of the internet. All right.
Yeah.
The website Wikipedia began life as a complimentary encyclopedia project to what website?
Oh, interesting.
So initially, Wikipedia was a like a co-website with another website. It was a an encyclopedia project. To what website?
Wow, this is a good question. I thought I was like, this motherfucker's going to ask me about Jimmy Wales, the co-founder of Wikipedia. But that is not where you're going with this. This is a little history here. This is
Jimmy
like,
Wales was involved in this other website, though.
Okay. And this was an encyclopedia project. Started as an encyclopedia project for another website. I'm trying to think of like what website you would need wiki style crowdsourced editing capabilities for. And I kind of want to stay away from the big players. I don't know why, but I feel like it's like it's not Google, it's not Facebook. Did you say it was another website?
Yes.
Okay. So it's not Apple. Their website does not need an encyclopedia. It's basically just a storefront if you don't know. By the way, I got embarrassed the other day on Twitter, not because of a tweet, but I saw it wrote Twitter from Android. And I was like, I don't want people knowing I use an Android.
Why?
It's low class, man.
Oh, whatever. Jesus Christ.
It's embarrassed.
I proudly use Android, and I've always used Android, and I have no problem with it.
Let's see here. What website? I don't know, man. This is a good question. It's not Craigslist. eBay? It's not eBay. I'm trying to think about what was around back then, you know? Maybe it's a search engine, though. Maybe it's Yahoo or something like that. I feel like Google, if it was developed under Google, Google would just absorbed it. Yeah. They would have known, like, we need to acquire this. And Yahoo would have been like, nah, you go off and do your own thing. We'll be fine. Man, I don't think that's right either. I don't know, man. I'm going to tap out on this. I'll just say I'll say Yahoo, even though I'm pretty sure it's wrong.
Yeah, the correct answer is Newpedia.
Newpedia.
Newpedia, yeah.
Ain't never heard of it.
It was founded by Jimmy Wales, and it was around for around 4 years, and is known basically as the predecessor of Wikipedia. It was designed by a committee and had experts that predefined rules and stuff like that. And Wikipedia was kind of like the pet project. Newpedia wasn't a wiki. It was just... It underwent like a bunch of stages of being confirmed, blah, 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 blah. And everybody was basically like, you know what? I like this whole thing with people updating it and, you know, us just checking out to make sure everything is right and us just editing or whatever. I want to do that instead. And so Wikipedia kind of became the preferred.
Kind of a revolutionary thing. Concept.
Yep.
You know, and absolutely. That makes sense why it became its own thing. Cool. All right. Well, I've got, for my final question, a music history question for you.
Always into those.
What singer first appeared with the Hoboken 4?
Hoboken?
That's what I meant to say.
Hoboken.
Hoboken.
Hoboken!
Hoboken!
Hoboken! What singer?
Oregon. Yeah, what singer? I just don't want to say the word ho. I feel like it's demeaning.
Okay.
What singer first appeared Hoboken. With the Hoboken 4? Too much sauce that time?
So Hoboken's in New Jersey. So we're thinking of a New Jersey musician probably. And when I think of New Jersey musicians, I usually think of two people.
Mm-hmm.
There are two biggies. Jon Bon Jovi. And Bruce Springsteen. And Jon Bon Jovi, for all I know, has always been kind of like hair metal-y. So I'm going to go with Bruce Springsteen.
Mark, do you really think I would give you such an easy answer for the final question?
No. But I don't know where else to go with that. I mean, I've never heard of the Hoboken 4.
That's because they were outshined by one of their members named Frank Sinatra.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Okay.
Now, I feel like if I had said which crooner, you would have gotten it. Or...
maybe.
Yeah, sussed it out, if you will. You might have sussed it out, but...
Max with that use of the word sus, which I loved.
Yeah, it was great. Sus. So yeah, that's my final question there.
What a great final question.
The Hoboken 4.
Let me tell you.
Frank Sinatra.
Episode 24.
This is episode 24.
This is episode 24 right here.
This has been episode 24.
And what a good episode it was. I felt very good about it.
I'll give you a, let me see if I can make my throat gurgle.
Jesus Christ.
I want to be like you when I grow
up. The thing is, you got to get a bunch of liquids.
Okay. This is our ASMR episode.
Excuse me.
All right. Anyways,
then the fluid works its way, works its magic, and gross things happen, and then people stop listening.
Yes, as they have. But we'll do our ending anyway. That concludes this 24th episode of the No No. My name is Lee Brettschneider. I just mix the two together.
Hard
there.
T.
Hard T. Go. A on the
soft
end.
Soft ER. There you go.
Put it in an umlaut above the Y.
Brettschneider.
And this has been my co-host,
Mark Davis.
And you can catch me hosting Trivia, No Nonsense Trivia Live on Mondays at 3 Pepper Burrito Company in downtown Fort Myers at 7:30. You can maybe face off against Mark and the Wet Boys, or just totally dominate them if he's not there, apparently.
I will be there this Monday.
All right, cool. So the night that you're listening to this.
The night that you're listening to this.
Yep.
Hurry up.
Yep. Time, clock's
ticking. Get down here.
To 3 Pepper Burrito Company. I'll also be at Bury Me Brewing on Wednesdays. That one starts at 7 o'clock. And, of course, on Wednesday night, right after you're done with that, head over to Cape Coral. Visit Mark at Nice Guys Pizza Trivia.
Now, am I correct in saying that your Wednesday trivias are going to be trimmed down a little bit?
Yes, but I'm not sure about the start time yet.
Okay.
But we're gonna be going down to 3 rounds just like we do. So every No Nonsense Trivia will be 3 rounds from here on out.
And the hope is that maybe you can, as soon as you're done with that trivia, someone could jet over to Nice Guys.
Someone
after having a couple beers, and then you can go down there and have some more beer and some pizza.
Yeah, yeah. So if you want that to happen, if you want that lifestyle, just get a hold of Bury Me and say, we want trivia at 7. That's all you have to do. Yeah. And then every Thursday evening, of course, you can find me at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in downtown Cape Coral. That one starts at 7:30. And we just had a great turnout last night. Season is really picking up down there. I think we had our highest turnout of any trivia.
Trivia there is a lot of fun. You do a really good job there.
Thanks,
man. It's a good place for it.
Yeah, great players. Great players. Love them. So thanks for listening, everybody. Hope you had fun. Join us every...
You can catch Mark Davis.
I said that.
When?
When I listed Wednesday.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess we talked about it a little bit.
Thanks for listening, listeners. Mark, you got to work on your listening skills.
I'm listening
a little
too.
Bit. Hope you had fun, everyone. Join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing. You're so used to me missing it that
I usually get my. Usually you do your Monday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Right.
And then you go, Mark, where can they catch you? And I say, you can catch me downtown Cape Coral, historic downtown Cape Coral, at Nice Guys Pines and Pies from 9 to 10:30.
I see.
So usually it's a separate thing.
Right. I didn't want to.
There, we just kind of tacked it on.
Yeah,
so I didn't know if that was all. That was going to be it. So I'm just used to it being after.
Live and learn. Live and learn.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm listening. Also, I forgot Tuesday, of course, I'm going to be at Macintosh Books and Paper for book trivia,
if that's
your speed.
Yeah, so Mikey J needs to come down here and kick some ass in the book trivia.
What we're saying is come to all 5 nights of our trivia in the Southwest.
What we're saying is just quit your job.
Move to here and play our trivia. Christopher, come on down.
You
come
can
on
win
down
enough
to Florida.
Gift cards and beer
who doesn't
to live.
Yeah, who doesn't want to retire to Florida? Like, isn't that a dream job? Retire, become a quiz master.
Christopher,
in Florida.
Listen, it's snowy, it's cold. So many people moved there. It's so overpopulated now.
So many white supremacists.
There's so many white supremacists. I mean, from what I understand, Portland was founded as a white haven.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know your race. I don't know if you're white. If you are,
it can't be healthy to be.
And
in
you're
that
not racist, then you don't want to be around that. If you're any color other than white, you don't want to be there because they're around every corner, a bunch of white devils. You can just come down here and you can do trivia with me and Lee, and we can all like. Make a trivia empire. It's going to be amazing.
Come down to Florida and get your brain cooked by the sun. That's what we're saying. That's a better life. Anyways, thanks for listening, everybody. Join us live. Subscribe to us. Go to nononsense.fireside.fm. You can subscribe there to iTunes. You can support us by clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page. You can also write to us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. And please follow us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, follow us on Twitter, follow us on YouTube, and most importantly, leave us a goddamn review.
5 motherfucking stars, and don't forget it.
You know we deserve it, and you know we're good for it.
You know, we've always been kind about this. We've always, but this one's going out to the people that are DOMs. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or our subs, rather. Yeah. This is going out to the people that are subs.
You piece of trash.
You piece of garbage. You piece of shit. You go and you leave a 5-star review because daddy wants you to.
And you like it.
And you're going to like it.
You're going to like it,
I'm
too.
I'm going to throw you down. I'm going to fucking spit on your face. And you're going to put a 5-star review and you're going to say you love this fucking podcast.
Until next time, no nonsense listeners, don't forget to review the podcast and also drink Mark's spit.
Disgusting.